Okay, so this is Bio 160, and it's Tuesday, February 17th. And we're going to start the next chapter, which is tissues. What chapter is that, by the way?
Chapter 5.
Okay. Let's see. On the internet, I put all your study guides for the next test and your quiz scores from last time, so they should all be up there, ready to go. And next time, we're going to have a quiz on tissues, just chapter 5.
All right.
Next Thursday. This coming Thursday. So like every week, we either get a test or a quiz in here, and we just kind of march our way to getting all those points ready to go. So does anybody have any questions? Oh, that next exam probably won't be on the date that's in the schedule because... Yeah, and the syllabus, does it say a week from today?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit soon. So, I'll have to look at that and let you know, but it certainly is not going to be next Tuesday. All right? Because we need to cover, like, 3 more chapters.
Yeah.
Maybe after class. Yeah. Because otherwise I'll get even way too far behind. Okay? Unless you see how it relates to tissues. Okay. But I don't see it relating to tissues really strongly at the moment. Okay. But after class, I'd be happy to talk to you about that. Okay. So it was a question about chemical bonds. All right. So what the heck is a tissue? Can you remember back to your organizational chart? You know, if you put it, what's a building block of a tissue? Yeah, it's going to be a group of cells of some kind. And so a tissue is a group of cells with similar structure, and those cells will all have a similar kind of function. And even the material between the cells is going to be similar in a tissue. All right? And so that material between the cells is what we call the extracellular material. So everything inside the cell is going to behave about the same, is going to look about the same, and even the stuff outside of cells in a tissue will look the same. And histology is what we call the scientific study of tissue structure and function. All right, so the study of tissues is what we call histology. And in order to look at cells and all the small things between cells, guess what we need in order to see cells? A microscope, right? So you guys are missing out because we don't have a lab for this class, but that'd be fun because when you use a microscope, you go like to a whole different world. You can see all kinds of things that you can never see with your naked eye. So it's like traveling to a foreign country without leaving home. It's really fun. All right, so but I got some micrographs that we can take a look at. All right, it's important to know how cells are organized into tissues because tissues then contribute to how organs are formed. And then if you take all the organs in your body, that makes an organ system. Right? And so knowing tissues is just a fundamental building block on how your body normally functions. It's important to know a lot about tissues. Now, the nice thing about tissues is that inherently it's relatively easy course of study because there are only 4 kinds of tissues that make up your whole body. So you can point to a certain location on your body and I can say 1 of 4 tissues that it is. So that's really handy. You don't have to memorize a lot of stuff. And those 4 tissues are, 1, epithelium. And epithelium covers a surface or it lines a cavity inside your body. So since we said it covers a surface, guess what your skin is? Part of it is an epithelium, right? Because it covers the surface of your body. So an epithelium is an important part of your integument. And then glands, even like sweat glands, they're made up of epithelium. The next kind of tissue is connective tissue. Connective tissue supports your body and it connects different parts of your body together. For instance, there is connective tissue between your skin and your bones that help attach your skin to your bones or to your muscles. That's connective tissue. Another functional way of thinking of a connective tissue is connecting things. Blood is a connective tissue and it flows through your whole body, so it's a way of connecting distant parts of your body together, right? Because it's transporting signaling molecules like hormones or delivering nutrients like glucose. And then the third kind of tissue is muscle tissue. And you could tell me what the function of muscle tissue is. What, muscle is specialized to shorten or contract. All right, so the ends of muscles are attached to two different points, and when that muscle contracts, those two parts of your body come closer together. So a lot of times muscle is connected to two different bones, and when that muscle contracts, what do those two bones do? They get closer together, right? And they usually angulate through some kind of joint or something. So muscle is specialized for contraction or shortening. And then the fourth kind of tissue is nervous tissue. And nervous tissue is important because it sends electrical signals from one part of your body to another. And what can you tell me about electricity? Is it fast or is it slow? It's fast, right? So it's a way that different parts of your body can communicate with each other very, very fast. All right. So then there's this last kind of construct in our mind that we've looked at already, and that's a membrane. A membrane is actually made up of two different kinds of tissue. It's part epithelium and part connective tissue. And sometimes we find membranes like between an epithelium and connective tissue because it's made up of both. Okay, so that's something about the basis of histology or tissues. All right, so let's first, which one should we look at first? Epithelium. Yep, let's look at epithelium first. So don't forget that epithelium covers surfaces of the body, helps make up the skin, or it lines a cavity. So you have the gastrointestinal tract, which starts with your oral cavity, and then continues as your esophagus, and then it goes into your stomach, and then small intestine, large intestine, finally empties back out to the outside world. So your digestive tract is really a tube that's running through your body, but it's not really inside, right? There's just a hollow tube running through. And there's an epithelium that lines that tube. And blood vessels have an inner lining as well that's covered with an epithelium. All right, so epithelium also can form glands for secretion. Right, like sweat glands. There are sebaceous glands on your skin that secrete oil that keep you from dehydrating. Right, that is made up of epithelium. And then here are some other important characteristics that you'll have to develop a little bit of an eye for. Epithelium has very little extracellular material. So what can you tell me about the space between cells of an epithelium, an epithelial tissue? All right. If there's very little extracellular material, are the cells far apart or are they close together? They got to be close together. So that's a nice characteristic of an epithelium. The cells are tightly packed together. And so it's mostly made up of cells, hardly any extracellular material. There is a free surface, or sometimes we call that a free edge, like your skin. What's the free surface of your skin? Is it the superficial surface or the deep surface? Yeah, the superficial surface is just open to the outside world, touching the outside world. That's what we call the free surface. The other surface is touching connective tissue. All right, epithelium has a basement membrane that helps attach the epithelium to underlying structures. And then this is a really strange one, but you're probably familiar with this already, and that is that an epithelium never contains a blood vessel. It doesn't have a blood supply. All right, so that's kind of strange because all living tissues need oxygen to stay alive, and most cells get oxygen from blood. So that means that epithelial tissue is really, really thin. It's got to be close by a blood vessel, but it can't be really, really thick because oxygen won't be able to diffuse through the whole tissue. And the reason why you might be familiar with that is because have you ever gotten a paper cut? Okay, might not be with a piece of paper or with a ribbon or something, and you just kind of slide your finger on something and you get a little cut and it hurts really bad. It's you making a face. It goes, oh wow, it really gets your attention, and then you look at your finger thinking you're going to see blood all over the place, right? And you look at your finger and what's it doing? It's not bleeding at all. And that's because epithelium, that's that tissue that covers the surface of your body, doesn't have blood vessels. It has nerves that you cut that feel real bad, but you didn't make the cut deep enough to get through the epithelium to actually cut a blood vessel. Okay? And that's because epithelium is what? Avascular. It doesn't contain a blood vessel. All right. So there are different ways that we can talk about different epithelium. We talk about them or classify them by one of two ways. By the shape of the cells that make an epithelium up, and then also by the number of layers that makes up an epithelium. All right, so let's first talk about the kinds of cells, the shape of the cells that make an epithelium. Okay, and I don't have a picture in your book, so I just drew some things out. Okay, the first shape is what we call flat. But instead of saying flat, we make up another simpler term. It's called squamous. So squamous means the same thing as flat, right? That's an important shape for diffusion in the lungs because materials don't have to move a very long distance to go from one side of the cell to the other. So can you see this is a nice flat cell right here? Okay, so here would be the free surface, and then here would be the basement membrane of that squamous cell. All right, another kind of cell is if the width of the cell and the height of the cell and the depth of the cell are pretty much all the same, then it kind of looks like a cube. And so we would call that a cuboidal epithelium. We find those in the kidneys, for instance. And then the third kind of cell, if it is a lot taller than it is wide or deep, then it looks like a column. And so we would call that a columnar epithelium. So those are the three shapes. If they're really thin, that's squamous. If the distance or the dimension is the same, no matter how you look at it, top to bottom, front to back, right to left, that's a cuboidal cell. Or if it's really tall, then we would call it a columnar cell. Okay, so that's by shape. The other way that we classify epithelium is by the number of layers. Some epithelium only have one layer. All right, from basement membrane to the free surface. There's only one layer. So here I only see one cell. We would call that a simple epithelium. And it could be a simple, it could be a simple squamous epithelium, or it could be a simple cuboidal epithelium, or it could be a simple columnar epithelium, depending on the shape of those cells, if it's just one layer thick. Other kinds of epithelia, you see that there are many layers of cells, one right on top of the other. And that's what we call a stratified epithelium, if there's many layers. Right? And again, to completely characterize that epithelium, we would have to say what the shape of the cells are, if it's stratified. So it could be a stratified squamous epithelium, or a stratified cuboidal, or a stratified columnar epithelium. All depends on how it looks in your body. And then lastly, there is kind of a strange-looking epithelium. We call it transitional. And transitional, at some times, it can look really thin. Other times, it can look really thin. It's a shapeshifter. So can you think of an organ in your body that changes shape a lot, changes its size, like the urinary bladder, right? So as you're sitting in class, your urinary bladder fills up with urine, right? And the epithelium has to stretch out. And when it stretches out, it gets really thin and long. And then after you void urine, what happens to the bladder? It shrinks back down, and now the epithelium gets really, really thick, and the cells really don't look long and stretched out anymore. So it's designed to change its shape. So for instance, right here, I drew a couple examples. So here is the free surface of an epithelium, and here's the basement membrane. What do these cells kind of look like right here? It's a two-dimensional diagram. All right, so here is the top, here's the bottom. These are cuboidal cells. Okay, but now number of layers from the basement membrane to the free surface. Is that stratified or is that simple? That's simple. So I would call that a simple cuboidal epithelium. All right, now let's just say that this is the free surface right here, and this is the basement membrane right here on this one. What do these cells look like? These look really flat. So we would call that a squamous. But now, is it one layer or many layers? Many layers. So that's a stratified squamous epithelium. Okay, so that's how we would talk about those things. All right. Well, let's look at some real epithelium. Let's see how it kind of looks. All right, I don't know if I'll show that slide. Maybe I'll show... this is the one I wanted to show you. Okay, so here is an epithelium. Here is the free surface. Here's the basement membrane way down over here. So what's the shape of that cell? What does it look like? Does it look columnar? No. Does it look cuboidal? No, it looks flat. Okay, looking at it on edge. And how many layers do you see? Just one, so that's a simple squamous epithelium. This is the kind of epithelium we would find in capillaries and certain parts of our lung, where we want, if it was in the lung, for instance, we want oxygen to move from the air in our lungs into the blood very easily because the cell is really, really thin. If it was a big columnar cell, then that oxygen would have a hard time getting inside our bodies. All right, so that's a nice, simple, squamous kind of epithelium. Put that over here. All right. Let's look at another one. Here's another nice one. All right, so how do you get started when you start looking at epithelium? Your eye should go immediately to that free edge right there. Right, so here's just a space. So that looks like a tube. Right, something's moving through that tube. The center of that tube, sometimes we call the lumen, L-U-M-E-N, of that tube. Is that on the slide? Yeah, the lumen right here is just the center of that tube. In the lumen of a blood vessel, what would you have in the lumen of a blood vessel? You would have blood flowing through there, right? Okay. So what does my eye pick up? I see the free edge, and then your eye should also identify the basement membrane right here. Okay, is that pretty easy to pick up? So now you see the extent of the epithelium from the basement membrane to the free edge. And let's start to classify this epithelium. Now, how many layers? One. So that's a simple epithelium. Now, what about the shape of these cells right here? They're kind of cuboidal looking. So here's an example of a simple cuboidal epithelium. Right? Simple cuboidal epithelium. All right, and then we see some connective tissue outside these tubules right here. All right, so I'll just kind of put that on the side. And let's take a look at this one. All right, so now instead of having a tube looking at a tube right at you like this, we have a tube kind of oriented right to left. So here is the lumen of a tube right here, and here are the walls of the tube. Here's the basement membrane. Here is the free surface right here. And here's a cell that goes all the way from the basement membrane all the way up to the free surface. So how many cells are there? There's just one. What do we call an epithelium with just one layer? That's simple. Now what's that shape look like? That's columnar. So here would be a simple columnar epithelium. Okay, simple columnar epithelium. And you can see all the nuclei down over here near the basement membrane. And do you see any blood vessels in this epithelium? No, because an epithelium never contains blood vessels, right? And what about the space between these cells? Are they closely packed together, or is there a huge space between them? They're packed really close together. There's no extracellular material. The other interesting thing I see on this slide is this cell right here. It's a columnar cell, but on the top, there's this bulge to it. Kind of looks like a goblet that you would pour water or wine or something into. And this is a goblet cell. And the job of the goblet cell is to synthesize mucus and secrete it into the lumen of this tube right here. And that mucus protects the surface from digestion and other kinds of things. I think I hit the just a little plug. Yeah, the goblet cell synthesizes and secretes mucus. And mucus is... Yeah, that stuff that kind of runs out of your nose when you have a cold. M-U-C-U-S. That's mucus. Mucus is part sugar and a part protein put together. What organelle can take a protein and add a sugar molecule to it? What organelle is important for modification?
Oh, Golgi apparatus.
Yeah, Golgi body, Golgi apparatus, same thing, yeah. So that's what mucus is. It's part protein, part mucus. So in that goblet cell, there is a lot of Golgi bodies making this mucus, secreting it into this tube right here. All right, so simple columnar epithelium. And that goblet cell is just a single exocrine gland, a single cell, just one cell that's producing that mucus that goes into this tube right here. So can you all see that? Just a nice simple columnar epithelium. Okay, let's look at another slide. Okay, so here we have some connective tissue down over here. Here's some connective tissue. They didn't draw the cells in. Here's the basement membrane. And here's the free surface way up over here. How many layers? One layer?
Many.
What do we call many? Stratified. All right, and the way we name the shape of stratified epithelium is by the shape of the cells near the free surface, which is up over here, not down by the basement membrane. So what are the cells, what's the shape of the cells up over here? They're squamous, they're flat. So this would be an example of a stratified squamous epithelium. Yeah. And a stratified squamous epithelium is not specialized for exchange, like you wouldn't be able to absorb oxygen across this epithelium because it's way too thick. This one acts more like a barrier. It's used for protection. All right, and it prevents water from leaving your body. All right, so this might be a good example of maybe the lining of your mouth or your skin is a stratified squamous epithelium. But do you see this nice basement membrane right here? And if you were just to look at the micrograph here, you can see that basement membrane. All right, and these are squamous cells. All right, another kind of epithelium. This is kind of breaks the rule a little bit, because I said epithelium could either be stratified or simple. Okay, here's one. Let's look at this one. Here's a cell that goes all the way from the basement membrane up to the free surface right here. It's just one cell. So what's the shape of this cell right here? Yeah, it's columnar. All right, but if we look in another spot of the epithelium, look, here's a little, like a cuboidal cell underneath this columnar cell. So what would you call this one? Is this stratified epithelium or simple? Okay. Well, here's simple in some places, in other places it's stratified. So this one we call pseudostratified. All right, because it doesn't obey the rules exactly. Pseudostratified. All right, but mostly the cells are what? Columnar in nature. So this is a pseudostratified columnar. But we also see something else on this epithelium. We see these structures that kind of look like a brush or something, okay, on the free surface. And these things move. They all beat in the same direction. Okay? They're all going to beat one way. And so these things are called cilia. They're important for motility. Here you see a goblet cell secreting mucus onto the top of these cilia, and these cilia then are sweeping that mucus. This kind of epithelium is the kind of epithelium that lines our trachea, our airways. All right? And so one of the functions of the trachea, of course, is to take air from the room and take it to our lungs, but we don't want to have all the dust particles that are in air ending up in our lungs, because our lungs are just a dead-end sac. So those dust particles get trapped in that mucus that's secreted by the goblet cells. And what do the cilia do? Are they sweeping up or are they sweeping down? Sweeping up or down? They're sweeping up because, yeah, your lungs are just a dead-end space. So it's sweeping all that dust and mucus up out of our lungs into our throat. And then when it's in our throat, what do? You just swallow it down. Get rid of it. Okay? Unless you're a baseball player, then what do? Then you spit it out. Right. Okay? But most people just kind of swallow it. Okay. All right. So this is a pseudostratified ciliated columnar epithelium that we would find, for instance, in our trachea. But it's only labeled pseudostratified columnar epithelium, but don't forget about those cilia because they're important for motility in our lungs. So I got a couple more pictures of epithelium. Here's another tube, and this tube you're looking right on edge again. So here's the lumen of the tube, and look at here and here. Is that simple or stratified? That's stratified. And what are the shape of these cells right here? They're sort of cuboidal. Okay. So this would be an example of a stratified cuboidal epithelium. Okay, stratified cuboidal epithelium. Look at that nice picture right there. And here is an example of, here's a basement membrane, here's a free edge. And how could you tell me that this is an epithelium right here from what you know so far? Because you have a free edge? Yeah, you got a basement membrane, but probably most importantly, what my eye picks up, I don't see any space between the cells. They're tightly packed together. So that's a dead giveaway that it's an epithelium, but I also see the basement membrane. All right, so what's the shape of these cells right here? They're really long. All right, so they're columnar, but is it just one layer or many layers? There's two, so that's a stratified. This is actually a stratified columnar epithelium. I don't think I made that an exam figure, but I'm just showing you of how to look at it. Yeah. When it's pseudostratified, you're going to see like some cuboidal cells in there too. And if it's, you know what, there's something else that you're going to see with pseudostratified. You're always going to see cilia on it as well. So this stratified columnar, I don't see any cilia. Okay. All right, but I haven't made this an exam figure. But this just gives you a feel for how to name different epithelia. This one might be an exam figure. All right, so what kind of cell is that right there? That's a goblet cell. Yeah, it's a goblet cell secreting mucus. Okay. Yeah. Oh, cuboidal means looking like a cube. Squamous means looking flat, and columnar makes it look like a column. Okay. So squamous is flat, cuboidal is a cube. Okay, yeah, there's that stratified cuboidal epithelium, kind of looks like a cube. And then here is that really interesting kind of epithelium right here. I don't know if I made this an exam figure or not, but here is a basement membrane. Here's the free surface right here. This is a transitional epithelium. And when I look at these cells right here, I don't see a flat cell. I don't see a columnar cell. I don't see cuboidal. They just kind of look like, how would you talk about these right here? They just kind of look like
different shapes.
They just kind of look like pillows to me, okay? So if I see a stack of pillows, right, and it certainly could be stratified right here, I know that's a transitional epithelium. This would be how the epithelium looks when the bladder is not full. And guess what it looks like when the bladder is full? It's going to stretch out. It's going to look like that. So now the shape of these cells go from kind of looking like pillows to looking squamous. Yeah, looking flat. All right, so that's a shapeshifter kind of epithelium that you see lining the urinary bladder and some ducts of the urinary system. Okay, so that's pretty much it for epithelium. So I could give you a really quick test. All right, so what kind of epithelium is that?
Cuboidal.
What kind of cuboidal? Simple cuboidal, yeah, simple cuboidal epithelium. Okay, and then I could show you, look at the screen, I could show you this one. What's that one? Stratified. Squamous, stratified squamous epithelium, okay? And this is simple cuboidal epithelium. See, you guys are developing an eye for this already. What about this one right here? Okay, simple columnar epithelium. Is that sort of making sense? Sort of. And what about, here's kind of a funny one. This is a pseudo-stratified. Yeah, you got the goblet cells in there and the cilia. Pseudo-stratified columnar ciliated epithelium, yeah. You know, it all depends. The way that we make a microscope slide is we take a block of tissue and then freeze it, and then we like to take the water out of it somehow, like put it in the, when it's frozen, get the water out, and then reinfuse it with wax so that everything gets stuck together. And so you have that tissue that's really a big chunk of wax, and depending on how you cut it, you could cut it this way, or you could turn it and cut it. So it all depends on how, what we call section that slide. So a lot of times, you have a tube, and depending on how it's cut, this is going to be a transverse cut of a tube to make it look like that, okay? Or if you cut it on the long axis of a tube, then it's going to look more like that. And sometimes you get all those orientations in one slice. And so you just have to develop an eye for what you're looking at. Yeah. Okay, so how about, I'll show you this one for like a second. What's this one right here? Stratified squamous, yeah, because you see all those different layers in there. What about this one? Pseudostratified, ciliated, columnar epithelium. What about, ready? What about this one? Simple cuboidal epithelium. Was I going too fast? Did you see that? Let's go back. Simple cuboidal. Okay. Let's see. What else is... those are really the easiest ones to see in a hurry. But this one is easy to see in a hurry. Ready? Stratified squamous epithelium. Okay, so with some study, you can figure out all of those things pretty easily. The center of that tube, what do we call the center of that tube? The lumen. And you see a bunch of nuclei in all those diagrams. What's underneath the epithelium? Basement membrane, and underneath the basement membrane is connective tissue. And it's going to connect an epithelium to underlying structures. Okay. All right. The other thing that epithelium makes are glands. All right. So what do I have to say about glands? A couple things about glands. All right. Glands could be a single cell. Like, give me an example of a gland that's just a single cell. What kind of gland? Now, give me the name of a gland that's just a single cell. So give me the name of one cell. It's a... goblet cell. The goblet cell that secretes what?
Mucus.
Yeah, it's a gland, but it's just a single cell. It's not a very impressive gland, but it secretes mucus. Okay. But most glands are what? Multicellular. They actually form structures that actually look like glands. All right, so what do glands, what do they secrete? They can secrete onto a surface, like your sweat glands secrete onto the surface of your body. They can secrete something into the cavity of a body, for instance, like mucus into your digestive tract, and that mucus is going to protect the lining of your stomach, so because you don't want to digest your stomach away. Or glands can actually secrete something into the blood. Does anybody know what kind of product you might want to have secreted into your blood? Okay, oxygen we get from the air. We just inhale it in our bodies, but there are special signaling molecules that coordinate different events in your body, and they're called hormones. Okay, yeah, you knew it. So hormones are secreted into your blood. And once in your blood, where do hormones go? Everywhere that blood goes, right? So the circulatory system is kind of handy that way. All right, so we got to classify glands as to two basic kinds of glands. All right, so let's not think about unicellular or multicellular, but let's talk about it in terms of exocrine glands versus endocrine glands. And the definition actually is pretty simple. An exocrine gland has ducts. That means that those cells secrete something that's into a duct, and then that duct carries it to where it should go to perform its function. So, for instance, the pancreas is an important gland that makes digestive enzymes. That's your pancreas, which is up over here someplace. Where should those digestive enzymes work? Where should they go to work? In your digestive system. They shouldn't work in your pancreas. If they go to work in your pancreas, what's going to happen to your pancreas? It's going to get digested away. That's a terrible condition, right? And it happens to people, unfortunately, all the time when they have pancreatic cancer or pancreatitis. You can imagine it's a really terrible disease to try to treat, and it's really awful. So those digestive enzymes are not secreted into the pancreas. They're secreted into a duct, and that duct takes those digestive enzymes from the pancreas to your small intestine where they do their job, digesting food. All right, so that would be an example of an exocrine gland that secretes something into a duct. What about sweat glands? Sweat glands secrete into a duct, and then there's a little duct. Actually, when we get to the integumentary system, you'll see where that happens. It goes through a duct to the surface of your skin, and then you have sweat on the surface of your skin. That would be an exocrine gland. So every exocrine gland has to have a duct or a tube. The other kind of gland does not have a duct. It's called a ductless gland. And that's what we call an endocrine gland. So all endocrine glands are ductless. It secretes its product. As a matter of fact, a ductless gland secretes a product which we call a hormone, not into a duct, but where? Directly into your circulatory system. And then your blood carries it all over the place. All right, so that's the big difference between exocrine and endocrine gland. Does that sort of make sense? Just by the structure of where they secrete their products. All right. I don't think I have types. I'm not going to talk about types. Are they on your notes? They are? You can cross them off. Okay. But you could take a look at, you might be interested in glands. All right. You might want to actually take a look at those. That's not too complicated. Okay. Ah, sign-in sheet. Let's sign the sign-in sheet, and then I'll pass it down right away. All right. So that's pretty much it for epithelium. So what did you learn about epithelium that's really strange? No blood vessels. The cells are really tightly packed together. And it's thin because, since it doesn't have blood vessels, it can't grow really large because the tissue would die when it gets away from a blood vessel. It has to be near a blood vessel someplace. Okay, and then also, what kind of epithelium is that? Simple cuboidal. Yeah, it's a simple cuboidal. So I'm sure you guys could figure out most of that stuff pretty easily. All right, the next kind of tissue is connective tissue. All right, it holds cells and it holds tissues together. What is that doing in there? Move that over here. Move that over here. Okay. Connective tissue. We got a number of different kinds of connective tissue depending on where we find it in the body. All right, the first kind of connective tissue we're going to look at is, how about loose? Let's look at loose first. I should have that number one. All right, and we'll go back to dense connective tissue because loose connective tissue has a number of things that we're going to find in other kinds of connective tissues. All right. Loose connective tissue is found between muscles and between muscles and glands and around nerves. And it could be between your skin and underlying structures like muscle and bone. It has fibers in it. It has a couple different kinds of fibers. One fiber is called collagen. And collagen is a really strong fiber. You could think of, so what's a fiber? It's long and narrow. It's like a string or a thread or something. And collagen is like a steel cable. It's really, really thin, of course, because it's microscopic. But can you stretch a steel cable? No. Well, maybe if you put a lot of force on it. But a steel cable, as opposed to like a string or something, you just can't stretch it. All right? There's another kind of fiber that is even more resistant to stretching. That's a Kevlar fiber. I don't know if some of you guys see Kevlar fibers anywhere, but it just doesn't stretch. The same thing for collagen. All right, so let's take a look. This is what a connective tissue looks like, in particular, loose connective tissue. So here I see a cell, and I see a cell here, and then way over here I see another cell. So could this be an epithelium?
No.
Why not? Because the cells are way too far apart, right? If it was epithelium, these cells would be what? Touching each other, all right? So this is connective tissue because the cells are far apart. Another reason why I would call this a connective tissue is because I see these fibers moving through it, okay? All right, and the big thick ones are what we call collagen. These don't stretch. They resist stretching. And then the thin ones over here are elastic fibers. What can you tell me about elastic fibers? They're pretty cool. They don't resist stretching very much, not like collagen, but once they are stretched, what will happen to them if you let it go? It will go back to its original position. All right, so elastic fibers allow your skin to stretch a little bit, and then after it's done stretching, it goes back to its original location. Also, in between the fibers, there is something called ground substance that holds a lot of water, and it kind of acts like a sponge that's in between the cells. And connective tissue could have blood vessels. I don't see a blood vessel in this slide right here. All right, but if you were to look underneath a microscope, you would see that some of the fibers look blue and some purple, and there's some yellow in there, and blood is going to look what kind of color? Like kind of reddish, right? So when you look underneath a microscope, when I look at loose connective tissue, it looks like a stained glass window to me because, what, all the sharp angles and all the pretty colors and things in there? All right, so these cells secrete all these different kinds of fibers. So guess what the name of that cell is right there? That's a fibroblast. A fibroblast is a cell in connective tissue that secretes fibers. Right. Okay. So what's interesting about connective tissue is that it doesn't have very many cells. What is most of the material made up of? Yeah, these fibers and ground substance, the extracellular material, is what's important in connective tissue. As a matter of fact, that extracellular material is so important that we give it a name. We give it a special name. And that special name is what? The matrix. So the matrix is everything that's outside of the cells, and it could be fibers or it could be ground substance. And what are the names of some fibers? Collagen, where you don't want parts of your body to stretch. And another kind of fiber is elastic, where you don't mind a little stretching, but when the tension is released, you want your body to go back to its original location. Like what? Like your ear, okay? For instance, right? It stretches a little bit, goes back to its original location. Okay, so that's a loose connective tissue. Kind of looks like a stained glass window. All right, what's another kind? Let's do dense, because now we looked at loose connective tissue. Here's dense connective tissue. Here are the fibroblasts. And why is this not an epithelium? Because these cells are far apart. Most of the material is extracellular. We call that the matrix, right? All of these fibers are in the matrix. Now, what can you tell me about these fibers? Do they have all different orientations like we saw on this slide right here? Or are all the orientations pretty much the same? They're all collinear. They're all pointing in the same direction. These are the big, thick, strong fibers that resist stretching. This is what we call dense connective tissue. This is what tendons and ligaments are made out of. Because a tendon is something that attaches a muscle to a bone. And when a muscle pulls on a tendon, that tendon should, what, pull on the bone so that the bones move. You don't want the tendons to stretch, because then when a muscle contracts, you wouldn't move if it was elastic fibers. Right? But these are the kinds of fibers that don't stretch. They're secreted by what kind of cell again? Fibroblasts, right, in that connective tissue. And again, you know that's connective tissue because of that extensive matrix right there. Right? So dense connective tissue. What kind is that? That's loose connective tissue because the fibers are oriented in all different directions. So it can withstand tension in all directions, but only to a slight degree. Not as strong as tendon or ligament, where they're all collinear like that. Okay. I'm going to skip over adipose, come back to it, and I want to talk about cartilage. Okay, let's see where's cartilage at. Got a couple different kinds of cartilage right here. Here's what cartilage. What kind of tissue is cartilage again? It's connective tissue. It's not epithelium. And how could you convince me it's not an epithelium? The cells are far apart. Okay? So we see an extensive matrix right here. That's a sign of connective tissue. These cells right here are what we call chondrocytes. So every time you hear that term chondro, guess what you should think of? What kind of part of your body? You should think of cartilage. Chondro and cartilage are synonymous terms. All right, so here are chondrocytes. And notice that these chondrocytes are in a little pit or a little hole or a little lagoon. Those are called lacunae. All right, that kind of separates them from the rest of the matrix. So I don't see much in the way of fibers right here. I just see ground substance. So do you think cartilage is really strong or kind of weak? It's kind of weak because it doesn't have a lot of fibers in there. Has anybody ever damaged any cartilage in your body? Like where in joints and things like that? It's easy to do. I hope you haven't done that. All right, because if I look at this cartilage right here, okay, I don't see many blood vessels in this kind of tissue. So that also means that, right, that it doesn't heal very well because it doesn't have blood vessels. Doesn't have many. It has more than epithelium, but still not very many. All right, so don't forget, cartilage cells are called chondrocytes. All right, you have different kinds of cartilage in your body. Let's see which ones are we going to look at. Okay. So here I see some chondrocytes and lacunae. But now, look what I see. I see some fibers in there. And these fibers are all branched. And these are elastic fibers. All right, so this kind of cartilage we call elastic cartilage because it can change shape. And then when the tension is released, what happens to the shape of that cartilage? It goes back to where it was. Okay, so what are the names of these cells inside this fibrocartilage? Or elastic cartilage, those are chondrocytes as well. These are chondrocytes, right? Yeah, that are secreting the elastic fibers and the ground substance into the matrix. And then you have another kind of cartilage in your body that looks like this. All right, so again, I see chondrocytes inside a lacunae. But now what about these fibers right here? They're really thick. So what's a thick, strong fiber called? Collagen. So this is fibrocartilage. This is what makes cartilage in some parts of your body that has to be really strong, right, to withstand a lot of tension or a lot of force. And this is the kind of cartilage that makes up the joints between your vertebrae and your back. There's cartilage between the vertebrae, but that's got to be a strong cartilage because all your weight is being held by the vertebrae, right, between the vertebrae. There's also a certain kind of cartilage in your knee called the meniscus. And that also has to be a really strong kind of cartilage. That's fibrocartilage. So fibrocartilage has chondrocytes, but it also has what? What are the fibers? The collagen fibers, right? Okay, chondrocytes and collagen fibers. Next kind of connective tissue. This is the easiest one to see. Unless I put it upside down. All right. So when you look at this, what kind of impression do you have? Yeah, it looks like you're taking a botany class, not a human physiology class, because I see like tree rings. I see rings inside rings inside rings. And this is the structure of bone, actually compact bone. Okay, and the strongest, and this kind of structure, when you see a tube, for instance, a tube, like if I have this marker right here, what do you think would be easier for me to do? To break this tube by bending it like this from end to end, or trying to compress it from tip to tip? Yeah, bend it. I could probably do that with my hands, right? But if we stood it up like that, you could probably almost put like a couple thousand pounds on this marker and it's not going to compress at all because of the tubular nature. And that's why bones are so strong, because what's inside bones? You have not just one tube, but you have a tube surrounded by a tube, and that's inside another tube, so it's like a big super hyper tube. It's almost impossible to compress a bone because of that tubular structure. But bones are also strong because it has calcium in it that kind of acts like cement that also helps resist compression. But so when you see this, I see cells, right, arranged in these circles right here. The cells are what we call osteocytes. We don't want to call them chondrocytes because why? Because that's not cartilage. That's bone. And bone, anytime you hear that term osteo, you should automatically think of bone, right? Osteocyte just means a bone cell. But nonetheless, these osteocytes are in these little pits, just like in cartilage. Those little pits are called lacunae. So an osteocyte is a mature bone cell that lives in this lacunae right here. And you can see there are little tunnels between different lacunae. And these little tunnels allow for diffusion of oxygen and nutrients from one cell to another, because this these circles right here are made out of calcium, right? Like cement, stuff wouldn't be able to diffuse from one cell to another. And in the very center right here, that's where the blood vessels are. So oxygen and nutrients have to move from this area here, from one cell to another, and it moves from one cell to another via these what we call canaliculi. They're just tiny, tiny little canals between the lacunae. That's how, for instance, glucose can get from one cell to another to keep those cells alive. And then the last kind of connective tissue, well, I tell you what, how do you know this is connective tissue and not epithelium? The cells are far apart from each other, right? They're not right up against each other, okay? So let's see if we can see what some of these different connective tissues look like. Oh, I do have to show you another kind, a couple other kinds. Oh, I got it right here. Here is an extreme enlargement of bone. Here you can see a little canaliculus right here. Here is a little pit that we call a lacunae, and what's inside that lacunae? That is an osteocyte. That's the nucleus of an osteocyte, and it's the job of this guy to maintain the health of bone.
Is that one of the listening?
Yeah, not close. This is a different figure altogether.
Okay.
So this is not an exam figure. I only have the exam figures in those notes. But this is like an extreme enlargement of one of these guys right here, or like that, even bigger than that one. Okay, so lacunae, an osteocyte doesn't fill up a whole lacunae. It's just in a little part of it right here. All right. Almost the last kind of connective tissue is this one. I got a couple strange kind of connective tissues to show you. And the last, oh, you know what? Before we move on, what kind of connective tissue is this one?
Bone.
Okay. So that's bone. When you look around the room, do you see anything that kind of looks like a bone? How about this pillar right here? Okay, it's holding up the ceiling. You might think of that as like being a bone is holding up the building. You use bones like that pillar right there, but there's a huge difference between that pillar and your bones, even though neither compress. What do you have in your bones? You've got these living cells, these osteocytes. That pillar right there doesn't have any living cells. So if we come back in 20 or 30 years from now, what can you tell me about that pillar? it's going to be exactly, you know, pretty much the same pillar. It doesn't do anything. But your bones are filled with these living cells, and they're rebuilding your bones all the time. And it's pretty amazing because they rebuild your bones so fast that every 5 years you have a complete new skeleton. Your bones only last for about 5 years, and they're completely rebuilt and remodeled because, what, of these cells right here. All right, so bone is what? It's not just like concrete. It's actually very alive, and it's building bone all the time. Okay. Huh? You know, I think, well, I might not be able to speak very well for chiropractics, but I think what chiropractics are really mostly interested in, maybe not so much the bones, but the articulations between bones, or the joints between bones. Okay? And so they call that a realignment. And since you're rebuilding your bones all the time, your bones won't be built properly unless the joints are working properly. And so if you get the joints working right, then your bones will stay healthy as a result of that. So that's just kind of another way of looking at that. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Yeah? A lot of people are very happy with chiropractics.
Yeah.
Okay. So bone is a connective tissue that's what? A very solid connective tissue, right? Very, very solid. Here's a funny one right here. Now, how could you tell this is connective tissue and not epithelium? The cells are far apart, so it has a matrix. But now this matrix is strange. It's not solid like bone. It's a fluid matrix. So what can a fluid do that a solid can't? It can flow. Yeah, it can flow from one place to another, okay, due to a pressure gradient. So blood is a connective tissue. So bone is connective tissue because it has a matrix. Blood is a connective tissue because it has a matrix. But you can see that they're what? Two totally different kinds of connective tissues because blood is a fluid. And furthermore, the kinds of cells. What's the kind of cell in a bone called again? Osteocyte. The kinds in blood are a little bit different. There are these right here. And yeah, do they look red to you? Okay, that's good. That's handy that they did that. I can't tell. They look gray. But anyway, yeah, that's because I can't see red at all. So, but these cells are what? They're empty. I don't see a nucleus inside of them. And when we start to look at blood, we'll see that red blood cells don't have a nucleus. They don't have organelles. But you have other cells in blood that do have a nucleus. And they kind of look what? Blue or purple or pink or something? Okay. Those are what we call white blood cells, okay? Because we can see them with these nuclei in there. White blood cells basically fight infection in our body, like bacteria, viruses, fungus, all kinds of things we don't want growing in our body. And the job of the red blood cells is to carry oxygen. So two totally different kinds of functions. That's why they look different. And then these little guys over here, those are platelets. Those are what keep you from bleeding to death when a blood vessel gets a hole in it. That plugs up the hole so that you don't bleed if you're a normal person. Okay? And what do we call all this stuff between the cells? That's the matrix, but in blood, that's what we call, and it's only in parentheses here, that's what we call plasma. Plasma is the interstitial fluid or the fluid outside of cells that are in our blood vessels. And that's why these cells can flow around. So the matrix in blood is
plasma.
Yeah, is plasma. Okay. Well, I must not be the only colorblind person because I can't imagine why these are called white blood cells. Because why? They're not white. That's because, well, in real life they look kind of cream colored. These are, have been stained so that you can see it with a microscope. So I tell you what. Let's look at some connective tissues again. I got one more kind of connective tissue to show you, but this one here is loose because it kind of looks like a stained glass window, all kind of fractured up to me. And then this is dense. What's the chemical compound that gives this tissue a lot of strength?
Collagen.
It's these fibers, collagen. Okay. And what kind of connective tissue is that?
Blood
connective tissue. All right. What kind of connective tissue is this?
Bone
connective tissue. Was that too fast? No. Bone connective tissue. All right. And then one that might be a little bit harder to see. How about this one right here? These are chondrocytes and lacunae. This is cartilage. Yeah, this is cartilage. So cartilage, we'll look at this when we get to the skeletal system. It can form structures in our body. It gives structures, but cartilage is a lot lighter than bone, and that's really handy. We would have to be a lot more muscular, have to eat a lot more food if all the cartilage in our body was actually bone. We'd be a lot heavier. All right, so cartilage is nice and light. All right, so should we do like a fast quiz? What's this? Loose connective tissue. What's that? Blood connective tissue. What's that? Oh, too long. Bone connective tissue. What's that? Dense connective tissue. All right, and this is? Cartilage connective tissue. Okay, what kind of cells are those? Chondrocytes. Yeah, chondrocytes. All right. So you saw that blood is kind of a different kind of connective tissue because it's not solid at all. It flows. But here's the strangest connective tissue. Let's see if I can find it. The strangest, it's atypical. Okay. This is an atypical connective tissue. Okay, because for instance, what is one of the hallmarks of a connective tissue? The cells are far apart, extensive extracellular matrix, right? And these are the fibroblasts and dense connective tissue. All right, here is an atypical connective tissue because here is the boundary of one cell, and here's the nucleus way over here, but this is all cytoplasm. Here is the boundary of the next cell and the boundary of the next cell. What can you tell me about the matrix of this connective tissue? It's like almost non-existent, all right? And so this is atypical because the cells are packed close together. This is adipose, or fat connective tissue. Fat connective tissue does not have a matrix. All the fat is stored not in the matrix, but inside the cell. It's intracellular. So it doesn't fit the true, right, the usual definition for connective tissue. Adipose connective tissue doesn't have much in the way of matrix, right? The cells are closely packed together because that's their job. They're just to store adipose. Adipose is energy. It has no matrix. Or you could say very little matrix. Yeah. Yeah, whatever I gave you on the study sheet right there. If there's a lead line right there, it might say nucleus or collagen, ground substance. Yeah. What else is on here? Cell membrane, fat droplet. Yeah. The ground substance is everything in the matrix that's not a fiber. Okay. So it kind of acts like a sponge. It just holds water. So that's connective tissue. You know, when we start class next time, I suppose I could go over some of these things, like what is that? Cartilage connective tissue. Or I could show you, what's that? Not a connective tissue. It's an epithelium because the cells are all close together. It's what, a stratified squamous epithelium. Stratified squamous epithelium. And you know, if you ever take another class like anatomy or something, you always got to make sure that you don't say stratified squamous connective tissue, because that's not a connective tissue. What is that? That's an epithelium. Okay? But that's easy, because how many different kinds of tissues do you have in your body? There's only four, and we covered two of them already. All right? We got a couple more to talk about. Why is adipose connective tissue a little strange, again? Because it doesn't have a matrix. I forgot where that slide went to. has very little matrix. The cells are closely packed together. Okay. All right, so that's connective tissue. All right, the next kind of tissue. Muscle tissue. What's it specialized for?
Contraction,
or it can shorten. So muscle cells are long, thin threads, right, where the length of the cell is much greater than the diameter. So it's really a nice, big, long thread. So because it's a big, long thread, a muscle cell is also called a muscle, it's called a muscle fiber because it's really long and narrow. And there's only three kinds of muscle in your body, right? So these all contract. One kind is skeletal muscle. The second is cardiac. What does cardiac muscle make up? Your heart, right? And the third kind is smooth muscle. And smooth muscle makes up glands, okay? Walls of hollow organs, like your digestive tract. Skeletal muscle. Let's talk about skeletal muscle, and then we'll see what it looks like. Right, skeletal muscle could make up as much as 40% of somebody's body weight, right, if you're younger. There's an insect whose body is, I think, 99% muscle, flight muscle, 99% flight muscle. Guess what kind of insect that is? A fly is a pretty good choice, okay, but not quite 99%. A dragonfly is 99% flight muscle, because a dragonfly can do what? I don't think you can see a fly just stop, but a dragonfly can just stop and hover and go up and down, forwards, could go fly backwards. It's amazing. It would be amazing to have 99% muscle in your body. Then you wouldn't have a brain. I don't know if that would be so fun or not. But anyway, skeletal muscle is important because it's under voluntary control. Voluntary control means that your consciousness can dictate whether that muscle is going to contract or relax, right? Like if I had my pen right there and you tell me to pick up my pen, what could I say? I could say no. Okay? So as a matter of fact, skeletal muscle is the only thing in your body that you can control with your mind. That's pretty scary, right? Of all the different tissues that we looked at, that's the only thing that you can control is skeletal muscle. You can't control cardiac. You can't control smooth muscle. Right? You can't control how fast your heart beats or with the force of contraction, only skeletal muscle. All right, so that's sort of disappointing.
What about
with discipline?
You know how to control that?
You can do little tricks to control your heart rate. Yeah? You have two sets of muscles. Certain muscles are round in nature or a ring. They're called sphincters or circular muscles. And for instance, on the tube that takes urine out of the bladder to the outside world, there's two. Okay, there is one that's made out of smooth muscle, and then there's one that's made out of skeletal muscle. And so I think you have an urgency to urinate when the smooth muscle one relaxes. But what do you learn at a very early age? Not to relax the skeletal muscle until the proper time. Okay, so with training, what, you learn how to use that skeletal muscle right there. Okay, yeah, it's potty training. Okay, so what about skeletal muscle right here? Voluntary control, it's striated. What does that mean? It has stripes. It's got lots of stripes. You see any stripes?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, and it's a fiber because look at this cell right here. It's what? Long and narrow. And actually, it's a lot longer than what you see on this particular slide right here. The other funny thing about skeletal muscle is that if this is one cell right here, look at all the nuclei that it has. Right? We saw that a red blood cell doesn't have any nuclei. Now we see a skeletal muscle cell, and it's got what? Many nuclei. And probably before you took this class, you thought that a cell would have how many nuclei? Always one. Now you saw some cells don't have any. Other cells have many, many, many. Well, just for your own quick education, you won't be tested on this, but these muscle cells are really long and narrow because at one time they were thousands of individual cells that all lined up that fused into one big cell. And all those nuclei just are left over from when all those cells fuse together, right? But that's how that muscle cell developed. So you should see this as skeletal muscle because of the striations, and it is not branched. It's long and linear, just like that. Okay, and that's under voluntary control. The other kind of muscle, this one right here, is it striated? Is this one striated? You see any stripes? Stripe, 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 stripe. It is striated. First try, pretty good. Okay, stripe, 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 stripes. So cardiac muscle is striated. All right, but it's not long and narrow. It also has branches, right? That's real important for how the heart functions. So it's not a fiber. We don't really call a muscle heart muscle cell a fiber because it's branched. It is striated. And there's only one nucleus per cell. And this one right here, you don't have voluntary control over, right? It's going to respond to situations that are taking place in your body or other situations that you perceive. So for instance, right now, I could say, okay, go away, go ahead, put your books away, get out of Scantron, we're going to have a pop quiz. So what happened to your cardiac muscle right now? So you don't have control over your heart muscle, but your instructor does if you play tricks. Or you could play tricks on yourself too, but it's not like what, reaching down and picking up a pen or a glass of water. You have to, what, practice different kinds of techniques to either speed your heart rate up or slow your heart rate down, right? It's still really under involuntary control. All right, so only one nucleus per cell, striated, involuntary control, has branches shorter than skeletal muscle, and it has, and it's not on, oh yeah, it's on this slide. See these bands between the cells? Mm-hmm. That's what we call an intercalated disc. And an intercalated disc we're going to look at when we get to the heart because it allows for electrical signals to go from one cell to the next, but the intercalated disc also acts like glue that glues these cells together, because when this cell contracts and pulls, it shouldn't pull away from this neighboring cell. If it did, then you'd have what? You'd have a big hole in your heart. So these cells have to be connected together, and it's the job of this intercalated disc to do that, to keep the cells tightly close together. The last kind of muscle is smooth muscle, and it's not striated, so when you look at it, you don't see any stripes at all. No stripes. It kind of looks like a football that's been really stretched out. It's got two pointy ends. Right? It's just an elongated ellipse. It's only got one nucleus per cell. And again, it's under involuntary control. You can't control when your bladder contracts, when your uterus contracts, right? When very sweat glands contract, when your iris contracts or dilates, constricts or dilates. You can't control that, just with your conscious thought. Hey, where did that sign-in sheet go? Did y'all get it? Good, thank you. Don't forget to sign the sign-in sheet. So, smooth muscle is used to make the walls of the gastrointestinal tract, the urinary bladder, and other parts of the urinary system, as well as the reproductive system. And this is just some anatomy of, what is this, male or female reproductive system here? It's a female reproductive system. Yeah, we'll spend a couple days talking about the reproductive system. So, I tell you what, I just got to show you the last one, and then we're done. The last tissue, and this one is really easy, is nervous tissue. All right, so here's a nervous tissue is made up of two kinds of cells. All right, it's made up of neurons, that's one kind of cell, and another kind is called neuroglia. Can you say that? Neuroglia, thank you so much. Neuroglia, or neural glial cells. The root is still neuro for neuron, okay? Neurons conduct electrical impulses over long distances. Neuroglia don't conduct electrical impulses, but they make sure that these neurons stay healthy. So we say it supports the neurons. So when we look at nervous tissue, it kind of looks like this. This thing that looks like a big star right here with these rays coming out, this is the neuron. And these things act like big long wires that go to very distant parts of your body that carry electrical impulses really fast. So from your brain all the way down to the tip of your toe, for instance, could be this. All right, that's just a projection from the cell body right here. And the neurovia are these little cells right here that surround the neuron and keep it healthy. All right, so you got a neuron versus neuroglia. And I guess I'm not going to talk about the dendrite, cell body, and axon because it's not labeled on this slide right here. Except the dendrite is a really small process. The axon is a really long one. And the cell body is where the major part of the cell is that has the nucleus. But we'll look at that in more detail when we get to the nervous system. All right, so I'm going to stop here. That means I still got, what, one more page to talk about? Okay, oh, and the questions. We got to, you know what? Start working on those questions. It will make a whole lot more sense if you start working on them before we talk about them in lecture. Okay. If you want your quiz back from last time, I'm not sure.